So we're on this subject of basic Christianity, wherein Paul opened 2 Corinthians saying, I would not have you ignorant. And he talks about the inward man being renewed day by day, and not looking on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen, about the new creation in Christ Jesus by the power of the gospel that we become. That God did not reconcile himself to us, but that he reconciled us to him . And last week we talked about that which can be seen in the Christian life, wherein Paul speaks of the proof in the 8th verse of the 8th chapter of the proving of the genuineness of the deposit of the Spirit of God in us. And he goes on to describe that proof, that proving. The word in the 8th verse of the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, translated prove, the word is dokomizo, and it means put to the test, to examine, to distinguish by testing. We encounter in the 13th verse of the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it's translated kind of funny, but I'll read it. It says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, he's talking about the ministration of giving, the word translated experiment in the King James, in the Greek, the word is dokimai. And it is a noun. It is the result of dokomizo, of testing, the result approved, proof. He's talking in this 8th and 9th chapters of giving. He makes that declaration in the 7th verse of the 9th chapter, for God loves the cheerful or hilarious giver. Folks, I gotta tell you, this is a really hard message for me to deliver. I'm somewhat limited in my knowledge and breadth of all of Scripture. But I have no doubt from cover to cover that the genuineness of the deposit of the Spirit of God, that is the earnest, that is the part payment of the Spirit of God in us, is that we do manifest, do prove the genuineness of that Spirit by the way we give. The Scripture is clear. God is a giver. The Scripture is without doubt. God gave His Son. And it says of His Son that He gave His life both the manifestation of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son whom He sent, is they were givers. We can go back into the Scriptures, wherein through Moses, God is going to give position when He tells Moses how to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. The first thing He says, and we speak first about that which is most important to us, so does God. He tells Moses to build the Ark of the Covenant, that type of Christ. And when that description is concluded, He gives that word also to build the table of showbread. And in the description, that table of showbread, that which the children of Israel gave out of that which God had provided to them in recognition that everything they had came from God, that table of showbread, it is the same height as the Ark of the Covenant. God puts Christ preeminently, but He also talks about our response, and He lifts it, our response to His revelation of Christ and what Christ has done, and our response in giving. He lifts that to the same height as Christ. Do we reach the same preeminence as Christ? No, but God is trying to show also what's important to Him, and He lifts as a type the table of showbread, our giving to Him, on the same level. For God, every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give. Their translators here are attempting to conclude the thought, and I have every confidence, they're right. Not grudgingly, oh, do I have to? Or of necessity, as we talked about that last week, there's no reason to go any further, for God loves the hilarious giver. And to that one by whom God's Spirit makes him a cheerful giver. We read that out of Exodus, the 35th chapter, 25th verse. It gives a promise, and it says, and God is able to make all grace that's still a substance, as it described in 8:1 of this letter, a force able to make all grace abound toward you, that we always having all sufficiency in all, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he dispersed abroad. He giveth to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that minister, that is God, that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for food and multiply seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Turn in your Bible to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, speaking to, which means learners, and though the word disciple also adds the understanding of disciplined learners, not those passers-by that every once in a while hear a word here or a word there from God and go off this way and that way and the other way, but disciplined learners. He says, take heed, I'm reading King James, that ye do not your alms before men. There's a alternative translation in the margin, which says, take heed that ye do not your righteousness dikaiousinein is the Greek word, that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, interesting folks, the translators equate the word dikaiousinein in the first verse to alms. God, Jesus speaking, says righteousness. The second verse says, Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, this word, eleemosynein. It's talking about money, and Jesus is equating righteousness with the giving of money. He says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before men, before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Think on that for a minute. Too many of those in pulpits today seek to have their righteousness recognized by men. We play to a much greater audience, to God Himself, to the denizens of eternity, to those who rose up and rebelled against God. And God has ever since been proving, since the confrontation in the Garden of Eden with Satan and Adam and Eve, and God, wherein Satan lied, God has been proving ever since to that audience as well, Satan is a liar. To those who want to show off their righteousness and get glory of men, God says they have their reward. I know. And have every confidence that those of you who are listening, chosen of God, who are written in the palm of His hand and on the breastplate of His heart, do desire the glory coming from God our Father. But he goes on to say, but when thou doest thine alms, giving of money, let not the left hand know what the right hand does, that thine alms, giving of money, may be in secret. That thy Father, which sees in secret, Himself shall reward you openly. Psalm 112 is being quoted by Paul. In this ninth verse, it says, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor his righteousness remaineth forever. I want to read a portion of Psalm 112. The sixth verse says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance, that's of God. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. We have that promise in Psalm 91. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn or his power shall be exalted with honor. He's talking about the giver. I love this last verse. The wicked shall see it and shall be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The world hates the giving of money in the Church of Jesus Christ. That story of the gospel of the woman with the alabaster box. It is said of the disciples, their response to the wasting of this precious ointment on Christ. Why this waste? It could have been sold and the money given to the poor. That's the world's response. We dig deeper into that statement, we begin to understand it was Judas who made the statement. He was the keeper of the bag, and he was looking to get more money in the bag. It says of him, he was a thief and a robber. And the world hates. They can't understand. The wicked shall see it and be grieved and gnash their teeth. They shall melt away. And the desire of the wicked shall perish. Stay with me. I hope you're still with me, folks. It speaks of God ministering seed to the sower. He both ministers bread for food and multiply your seed sown, that is the word of God, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's here speaking of a relationship we do have with God. And it describes not man as a depository, but as a channel. That which God supplies. The Philippian letter, which was written as a result of another gift, that those Philippians gave to Paul, Paul says, unto them, as a result of their giving, that God is able to supply all their needs as they have become a channel through which God's gifts do flow. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Alternative is liberality. There's another alternative, simplicity. It's just this simple. God is a giver. Jesus was a giver. He gives his Spirit to us. We become givers as we give. God is able to increase and channel his gifts through us to others. Being enriched in everything to all simplicity, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. The word is, in the Greek, is that word which we have in the English, Eucharist. He repeats it again, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, by many Eucharists unto God. I'd like to speak on the right use and wrong use of that word Eucharist in our religious ceremonies, but Paul calls giving a Eucharist to God. And while this, whilst by the proof of this ministration, the word is, comes, it's a liturgical word, having to do with that spiritual relation, not religious, but spiritual relationship with God. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution, King James translates, koinonia, joint participation unto them and to all, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Paul starts out in the 8th chapter, the first verse, let me lift as an illustration the grace of God, and he goes on for almost 40 verses explaining what that grace of God is. And we come to that 14th verse, and he's talking about that same force in the 14th verse of the 9th chapter as he was in the first verse of the 8th chapter. It's all about giving, folks. the proof of the genuineness of the Spirit of God in you is the way you give. Hilariously. Why do I have trouble? Why have I had trouble? And I said, I believe I said earlier, the struggle I have in delivering this message. Paul says it very well. Thanks be unto God for his, he says, in King James translation says, for his unspeakable gift. One translation has for his indescribable gift. Paul spends two chapters attempting to describe it, and he runs out of words. He says, thanks be unto God for his undescribable gift. I am. To those of you who have heard the word of God through this voice and have responded in all your gifts, showing cheerfulness in your attitude, and dedicate your tithes with gladness, and give unto the Most High according as he has enriched you, and as you have received, you give with a cheerful eye. I've just gone back to those 9th and 10th verses out of the 35th chapter of the book of Ecclesiasticus. On this Memorial Day weekend, a day in which, in the United States, we stop and draw to remembrance those who gave their lives in service to this country. As Christians, every day should be a day when we remember Jesus Christ and the life he gave, that we may also live with him and God, our Father. Throughout eternity. And that's the God School. for today.